Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Hope you guys had a great hump day coming into Thursday now. Hope you guys are going to finish out the week strong. That's our mindset, right? Trying to finish out the week tough, mentally tough, first and foremost. And I hope this little podcast here will give you guys some fuel for that. Guys, today I want to talk about the power of a story, especially the power of a testimony. I wrote this a few weeks ago. Everyone has a story. All the details within them may differ. Some people have these amazing and inspirational testimonies of how they have overcome excruciating pain, whereas some people may think their stories are just a little boring or mundane. But let me remind you of this. Your story matters. It really does. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I grew up with a lot of my buddies who had these jaw-dropping, down-to-your-knee testimonies that I heard. And I always was sitting there thinking, man, what have I been through that was so painful and so inspiring that people hear my story and they're like, wow, man, yeah, like that'll lead me to Jesus, right? And I struggle with that for the longest time. I think at the end of the day, it's not about our story. We're not trying to perform. We're not trying to put the pressure on ourselves and say everything has to sound so cool and we have to prove something to somebody. That's not what it's about. But really what it's about is it's about the authorship of God and what he has done in and through your life, no matter what that looks like, right? It could be this amazing story, and we're going to hear an amazing story today from Mr. Max Davis. We'll get into that in a second. But if you feel like your story might be a little boring or mundane and you feel like you don't have something to share, then I'm just going to be flat out honest with you guys. You're wrong, because everybody's stories and struggles and testaments of God's activity in the midst of them will speak volumes. It's not about what you have done or what you have gone through. It's about his activity in your life, because that speaks for itself. I was reading through a blog, and this is a quote. It says, "We never know how our story can impact someone else." See, the most important thing to remember is that your story matters. And most importantly, as a Christ follower, going from being lost of this world in sin to saved by his grace through faith in God is and always will be the best story that I have ever heard. God can and God will use your story. Today, our guest is going to be Mr. Max Davis. Max is an author. He's written so many different books. Me and him are actually working on a special project together in a book titled Built Different, which I can't wait to release to you guys here probably by the end of this year, around the fall time. Max has gone through so much, you guys. I mean, talking about going from the top of the top, cream of the crop, the guy in high school. He was playing college football. He was married, to literally losing everything in the snap of a finger, to where he went through a divorce. He lost an opportunity at his church. He literally went to being homeless and living in a car for a year or two of his life. And then all of a sudden, God gave him this drive. God gave him this perseverance and this vision that he gave him back in high school, but reminded Max, this is something that I have instilled within you. This is your gift. This is your dream. This is your passion. And I want to reinvigorate it in your life. I want to literally fuel it again and ignite that passion back into your life. And I want to speak it into existence over you. And God literally took him from nothing and helped form him into the life that he is now living. It's honestly a powerful story of redemption and restoration. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. My conversation with Max Davis is coming up right after this break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Meredith Andrews. Extraordinary women. Women, a day of worship and encouragement. Coming to Marcus Point in Pensacola, April 17th. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends and some of the nation's best speakers, Casey Van Norman, Sheila Walsh, and Megan Clinton. Then praise and worship with Meredith Andrews. Super early bird savings extended with $49 tickets through March 31st. An incredible worship experience you'll never forget. Get your tickets now at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net. Extraordinary Women.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Mr. Max Davis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be here, Zach. I'm very excited.
Man, I'm so excited just to have this opportunity to sit down with you, to hear your story and your testimony on a more personal and intimate level, sir. You're truly a blessing. Today, I just want to go way back, and I know you're an author by trade, right? But
yep.
God is our true and ultimate author, and he's written a story for your life, and it's an unbelievable comeback story. So
yes.
Let's start out. Hey, let's go all the way back to your childhood. What was life like for Mr. Max growing up?
Well, let me cast off with just a little twist here.
Absolutely.
I need to tell you where I'm in now.
Yes.
So you'll really feel the impact of where I am now. So I've written 38 books now.
Wow.
They're in probably 30 countries all over the world. We've seen thousands of people come to the Lord.
Yeah.
Several languages. I had The Insanity of Unbelief.
That's right.
It was a number one bestseller.
Yes.
We got Take It Back. I'm doing with Tim Clinton.
That's right. I know that guy.
So the point is, my books are going all over the world. I've written 38 books. And you need to know that, okay?
Yeah.
Now let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
In high school.
You know, when we go back to high school, I mean, you've told me before in the sense where you felt like God was pressing on your heart.
Yes.
To write. You felt like it was a passion of yours, but it was also like a burning desire inside of you and a calling and an assignment from God. So let's start there.
What you have to understand is when I was born and I came out of the womb, my dad put a football in my hand and he pointed me toward the goal line.
That's right.
Okay. So for 17 years, we lived, breathed, and ate football. That was our life. Mm. And, you know, I was fortunate enough in high school to be all state and, you know, got a full scholarship to the University of Mississippi to play football. So football was our life.
Yeah.
And going into my junior year, this is an amazing God story. It's a comeback story that's going to give so much hope to people. Mm. But going into my junior year, I mean, I was a smoke dope, I drank beer, I hung out, chased the girls, had a 1972 Gran Torino Sport with a 351 Cleveland engine jacked up, just like in the movie Gran Torino. I had that, that car. I mean, when I hit the campus, I was the guy.
That's right.
And I had hair down to here, platform, the whole thing. Back to the 70s. And I was homecoming court, the whole thing.
You were the man.
I was voted most athletic in the high school. There was, 1,500 students.
Right.
Well, anyway, so going into my senior year, the summer of my senior, I get radically saved. I mean, Jesus just radically saved me. And everybody in the school automatically knew Max Davis got religion.
Yeah.
But I got Jesus. And I was one of those guys that brought my Bible to school. And we evangelized the school. I mean, it was so radical. But I had never read a book, okay? If you wanted to torture me, just give me a book and help me to read. And when I say I never read a book, I probably read, books with pictures.
Right.
And Sports Illustrated, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And but I got so fired up for God. And I had a 1.5 GPA, okay? And so my 1.5 GPA, I had like a D in English. And I think I typed like 8 words a minute on those hand typewriters. So you have to get this in your mind. Writing was the furthest thing from my mind. If they took a survey in my high school of who's the least likely person that would write books and they would go all over the world, it would be me. Okay. So anyway, so I had to get my overall average up to a 2.0 so I could get my scholarship to Ole Miss on probation.
Right.
So my senior year, I took 7 hours. I took 2 PEs. I did everything I could to get my GPA up. And I did. I got it up. But during that time, I was in prayer one day and just seeking God. And I felt the Lord speak to my heart. And I got to be careful how I say this.
Yeah.
But God spoke to me. I actually heard it. And I heard a voice that said, your books are going to go, you're going to write books and they're going to go all over the world. Hmm. That's crazy. Hmm. It was internal, but I heard it. Hmm. It was like an audible voice. And I literally went, whoa, where did that come from? So I knew it was God. Hmm. And I began, it's just like God just put this passion in me to learn and to grow. And I just became like a sponge. And I mean, I've got paper where I was sitting at my desk at Central High School writing my book that I thought was going to get published right then.
Wow.
That was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about writing or how you make money. I just knew God spoke to me. So anyway, here's a key point. And this is about dads, how dads can really influence. So here, God radically changes my life. I get this scholarship to Ole Miss, but now all of a sudden, the burning desire has switched from football to writing.
Yeah.
So I go to my dad and I said, Dad, I think God's called me to be a writer.
Wow.
Now that's probably the worst thing a dad ever wants
from
to hear.
From football to writing.
Particularly after I've spent 17 years preparing for football and I get the scholarship.
Right.
But you know what my dad did? This was one of his great moments in my life. Hmm. He did not shame me.
Wow.
He didn't guilt me. He didn't say, oh, you're crazy. You're not going to make any money as a writer. And I've done quite well. But he didn't try to discourage me. See what he said? Wow. He said, look, he said, you got a scholarship to play football at a major university. He said, why don't you take that scholarship and at the end of the 4 years, if you still feel that God's called you, he said, I will pay for your way to go to Bible college. Mm. And looking back on that, that was the most amazing moment in my life with my dad. He could have broken the vision that God had put in me, but he didn't. And I said, you know what? I think that's a good idea. And I'm sure in his mind, he's thinking, you know, 2 or 3 years, my mind's going to change and all of that. But what happened was when I went to Ole Miss to play football, because God had called me, I figured, well, I was going to major in like physical therapy or something like that.
Right.
I decided to major in journalism.
Wow.
And I said, if God's called me to write, I'm going to major in journalism. Hmm. And wound up with a 4.0 my senior year on the dean's list. And God actually used that journalism as a foundation of my writing career. And actually, I've probably been more effective as a journalist. And then the Bible college, you know, joined it. But the point is, God was directing me, and my dad had that moment where he could have broke it, and he didn't. And so as men and as dads, we have to be real careful not to break the dreams that God puts in men and our young men coming up.
Yeah.
And so it was a God moment.
You know, you're in college, you get married. Right. While you're there as well. Then, like you said, you end up going to Oral Roberts. Then you end up pastoring a church in Kansas.
Yep.
And then all of this in the world's perspective from the outside in, you know, you're a very successful person. Like people are looking at you like, man, this guy's got it all together. But then that's when I feel like God did something drastic in a sense where you've mentioned to me like it was like the wheel started falling off, like you hit rock bottom suddenly.
So here's what happened. And you have to understand this, because when you look at the plan going all the way back to where God called me.
Right.
See, like we think when God tells us something, it's going to happen right then.
Right.
But this has been a lifelong unfolding. I'm 60 years old now, and we're just now getting going.
Right.
But when I got called, I thought right then. Hmm. But what we've seen is through the disappointments, through the failures, through the heartbreak, God was working in everything.
Wow.
So I played football at Ole Miss, got married at Ole Miss, and then went to ORU and, you know, had two kids and lived there and got my master's in theology. And then I wound up pastoring a church in Lawrence, Kansas, which was very successful. Well, I say successful, it was a very fast growing church. Right. And all the time I'm developing my skills and developing my gifts of writing on the side. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So I'm doing all this other stuff, but I'm still not published. I've got this dream, but I'm letting God develop me. Hmm. And that's what men need to understand, and young men. When God gives you a calling, you have to look at it as a lifetime thing.
That's right.
And you may have to do a lot of different things while you're letting him develop you. So I drove a truck for years as a UPS truck driver, and I would write. I had a notepad, and I was always writing.
Yeah.
My favorite stops were the bookstores. And then I pastored the church. While I'm pastoring the church, I'm writing. To tell you what happened was the church is growing. I'm, from the world's eyes, pretty successful, two kids, beautiful home, bought a beautiful home. And long story short, I went to church one day, and my wife at that time decided not to go. She decided not to go to church. But when I came back home, she was gone. And basically in 60 days, I lost everything. You know, I lost my home. I lost my car. You know, I lost my church. I lost my family. James Dobson said, you know, if your spouse leaves you, these are 10 things not to do. I did all 10. You know? it was just tragic because it just hit me blindsided.
Right.
I didn't even see it coming. When I tell you the pain that I experienced, I couldn't even function. I would be in the fetal position just crying like a baby, like weeping. There would be so much in my pain. I tell people for 2 years, my prayer was, God!
Yeah.
Like I couldn't even articulate. I couldn't go to church. My whole life just stopped. And here I was, a pastor, and going through this, and I couldn't make a living. I didn't know what I was, just mentally, I say mentally unstable, you know, emotionally unstable.
Yeah.
I was homeless for a while. I lived with other people, you know. They put me up for 2 weeks and then 3 weeks, and then I lived in the car. I slept in the car. And I remember the policeman waking me up. I'll tell you a neat story. So, but what happened during that time was I cried out to God.
Yeah.
I never got angry with God, but I cried out to him. And even though sometimes my prayers were just, God, and I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. I mean, I was selling vacuum cleaners. And I couldn't give them away. You know, here I had a master's degree, you know, played college football, got this calling to be a writer, and I'm selling vacuum cleaners from a 13-year-old car that's rusting out because I gave everything to my ex. I thought, figured she, we were going to get back together, and she sold everything, took off. But I cried out to God, and I kept walking with God. And he began showing up in little ways. This was back in the early 90s. I mean, I had no money, Zach.
Yeah.
When I'm telling you I had no money, I mean, I had no money.
Right.
And I had no gas in my car. And I got out of the car, and I'm walking down the road. And I needed gas, and I needed food. I was hungry. And I was just crying out to God. And I said, God, you know, your word says you provide. And I need money today. I need food. And I said, I'm just asking you to provide. And I kid you not, I looked down at my feet, and there was a $20 bill stuck in the gutter. And I reached down, and I picked up that $20 bill. And I got gas, and I think I got McDonald's.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when's the last time you walked down the road and got found a $20 bill?
Right.
And I'm crying out to God at the moment with no money. And I said, God, I need food and I need gas.
Right.
And it was a $20. I mean, like right there. And at that point, the switch was clicked.
Right.
It's one thing to say that you need God. It's another thing when God is all you have.
That's right.
And I began to live what I call desperate dependence.
Wow.
I began to see God as my source. And what I mean as my source, I mean really as my source.
Yeah. Well, your story reminds me of, honestly, I mean, from losing everything. I was just listening to a sermon yesterday by Kyle Edelman at Southeast Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and he was talking on not a fan of Christ, but being a committed follower of Christ,
that's right,
based out of Acts 16. And he said the term when Paul and Silas were in prison, when they were in shackles, and they were literally left in these shackles, and they were stretched out in almost the form of torment and torture, that what did they choose to do? They chose to continually worship God. And he put in a sense of defiant joy. So defying the odds, when life is throwing all it can at you, when life is beating you to your knees, it's sucking the air out of you, and the referee's counting, right? And you're on the canvas of the ring, 7, 8, 9, and you got nowhere else to go. You choose joy because of this Jesus and this Christ that lives within us. So, sir, you've written a ton of books. This is a comeback story that you talked about. You talked about the insanity of unbelief. Where has your faith played such a integral role in this comeback?
What happened was, and actually the scripture I read this morning in my quiet time was, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. You know, what men need to understand is God is real.
That's
and
right.
Jesus is real. And he wants a real relationship with him. And when we walk in that desperate dependence on him, he begins to provide. And what he began to do, he began to, one step at a time, get me out of where I was at, out of my pit, out of the ring, up off the canvas.
That's right.
You know, but as he was getting me up, he was rebuilding me and strengthening me. So I tell people, you know, like a kid that scatters all his colors.
Yeah.
And he's scrambling on the floor, picking up something not broken to put back in the box.
Right.
That was me. But what I put back in the box were things that were strong and making me stronger. And when I came out of this, I tell people, losing everything was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Because it forced me out of my comfort zone. Mm. And so after like a 2-year healing process,
right,
this is what gives people hope. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do to make a living.
Right.
So now I'm emotionally stable, but I don't know what to do to make a living. And I'm thinking, who's going to hire me as a pastor?
Yeah.
I got a divorce. I've lost everything.
Mm.
And then I called my professor from ORU and I said, what do I do? God's healed me, but I don't know what to do with my life. He said, focus on your gifts and delegate what you're not good at to other people. And I realized that there was really only two things I knew how to do, and that was write and talk and preach. And so what I did was, I had no money. I didn't think anybody would publish me, because who's going to publish a failure? That was just kind of my mindset. But God had given me a message. So I put this little book together, true story.
Yeah.
This is before internet. This was, you had to do everything by hand.
Hmm.
I went to my relatives and friends and I borrowed $60,000.
Wow.
I raised $60,000.
Yeah.
To start my own publishing business. And I published this little book. It was called Never Stick Your Tongue Out at Mama and Other Life-Transforming Revelations. And it was kind of Southern humor, but then you read it and there's these powerful stories that make you cry. Mm-hmm. We sold 150,000 copies of that book.
Man.
I come home one day, an agent from New York had called me, and she says, can you come to New York? You know, there's several major publishers, Simon & Schuster, they want to buy your book. So I go to New York, get this big contract, change my life. They put me all over the United States. But when I got that contract and I'm getting on the elevator in Times Square, the Virgin Record building, just like in the movies, and the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and he said, this is what I spoke to you back in high school.
Wow.
He says, when I told you you were going to be a writer and your books were going to go all over the world. But he had to take me through all of that mess.
Storms. Yeah.
And even the divorce, even though God hates divorce, and it was a horrible thing,
right?
He knew I was going to go through all of that to get me to the point. But he wanted to bring us to the end of ourselves.
That's right.
Where we can be dependent on him. And, of course, that book was the first of many. But here's the thing. It's continued to be a faith walk.
Yeah. I love what you're saying about that dependence piece too, especially because in a culture, in a world, in a society that preaches, especially to men, right, independence, that we should do it on our own, that we're good enough, we're strong enough, we're capable. Man, we're not. And that's that dependence we're talking about.
We don't want to be independent. We don't want to be codependent. We want to be interdependent.
Mm.
And we need one another, and we need the Holy Spirit. We need God. working in us, but we don't need to give up. And I guess that there's so many men that have lost hope.
Yeah.
They feel like it's over. Hmm. Let me tell you, it felt like it was over, but God was working in it. He's faithful, and you can depend on him. And there's so many God stories. You know, my whole life is a God story now.
That's right. I want to jump over now to, you know, your new and your now wife, Miss Elena.
Oh,
I want to talk about, yes.
Wow.
And I want you to speak into, man, that God was really working behind the scenes of everything. And he was all powerful in the midst of this horrible, horribly hard situation. And I want you to share that story real quick because it's powerful.
Okay. So John MacArthur, he said, one of the most miraculous things about God is he's outside of time. And he can work all the different scenarios in our life for our good. And because he knows the end from the beginning. Hmm. So I wrote a book called When Jesus Was a Green-Eyed Brunette.
Yeah.
Loving People Like God Does. You need to get that book.
Yeah.
It kind of tells the story. But I've been married 25 years to really my soulmate. I know it's hard to say, people don't like that, but she's my soulmate. Well, I have the most amazing wife, the most amazing marriage. And God brought her in my life, but she led me to the Lord in high school. So she was my high school sweetheart. She led me to the Lord. She was the woman I originally wanted to marry.
That's amazing.
And she felt like she was supposed to marry. Everybody thought we were supposed to get married.
Right.
But then when I went off and played football, I kind of did my own thing kind of thing. But God brought her back into my life. And we just knew. I mean, we just knew.
Yeah.
It was right. You know, like I said, divorce is horrible. I did everything in my power to save my marriage.
Yeah.
But it didn't heal.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I came to the point. I remember this because I held on for years. And I remember one day I got on my knees and I said, God, I don't care if I push a broom the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I just want to be a good dad. And when I did that, this weight lifted off my back. It was like a freedom.
Right.
And it was like the Holy Spirit said, she's not coming back. It's not going to be healed. Move on. And it was just shortly after that that God brought Atlanta in my life. And we're a team, man. I'm telling you, we're a team. And we've been married 25 years, and divorce doesn't even, like, you know, it's not even, it was never in our minds.
Right.
But God knew. He had her for me way back then, but I had to go through all that stuff to make me the man that I am.
Right. And that's the beauty of it all, is that even when we're going through the fire, God is refining us. He's shaping us. And I feel like, man, we serve a God who delights in impossibility. We may not see what he's doing behind the closed doors while we're waiting in the hallway, but God, when he's ready and he's never late and his timing is perfect, those doors will open. And Mr. Max, hey, we're fighting time here, but I just want to end with this. You just recently went through a battle with COVID-19. It almost wiped you out. It really, I mean, almost took your life. And thankfully, God has done some miraculous things in your life. You've been learning a lot. I know we've been talking about it. And to be honest with you, sir, I just kind of want to end in the sense of, you're also, like you said, you're an author. You have a message that you want to get across to your readers every single day. And even some of the things that God has put in your life for such a time as this, battling COVID, everything that you're writing. Sir, what is your message to every person listening to this program on how we can be a built different person and pressing in closer to the heart of God?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. So, you know, in the book Built Differently that we're working on,
that's right,
we talk about David.
Yeah.
And really, David had that intimacy with God. He had that intimacy with God in the wilderness. And during those wilderness times, he let God develop him. He developed his stuff. He developed his skill. But he developed a relationship with God. That's where he learned how to play music. And, you know, he didn't just defeat Goliath, but when he was king, he was a worship leader. Where did he learn all that? He learned that in intimacy with God.
Wow.
And the Bible says when Samuel anointed him, the Holy Spirit came on David. This is my message for men.
Yeah.
Everything comes out of intimacy with God. Our God dreams, what God wants to say to us. We have to have programs. We have to go to church. We have to do all that. But that's not what sets you free. What sets you free is having that intimacy with God, knowing him real, that desperate dependence, crying out to him, living in a relationship with him. Hmm. And then he begins to deposit in you his dream, his power. And that's what happened to David, you know. So everything comes out of intimacy with God. You know, Jesus is risen. That's the game changer. Hmm. Either he's risen or he's not.
Right.
And a lot of men, they believe in God, but they really don't believe he's risen. Well, if Jesus rose from the dead, then he's alive, he's real, and he's here right now. Mm. And he wants that relationship with us. And out of that comes what God wants to give us versus the flesh. You know, the Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
You can live in the Spirit. You can be a Christian and not walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
So that intimacy and keeping in step with the Spirit and letting him speak to you and guide you each step of the way.
Yeah, it makes total sense, because even in the absence of clarity, like I've shared with you, God extends that invitation to intimacy with him.
That's right.
We got to cling on to it. I love that, sir. Mr. Max, man, this has been a blast. Just hearing your story on a more personal level, you know, it is a comeback story that gives so much hope, because sometimes people really, I feel like, think hope is lost, but in all reality, like you're sharing, hope sometimes just needs to be redirected.
Hope is a person.
That's right. I love that, sir. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. I love you. I appreciate you. Keep fighting, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys, just in closing, you know, as Max was sharing, there's an old quote that says, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force that horse to drink. It reminds me of Jesus's interaction with the woman at the well found in John 4. Sometimes, like the woman in Scripture, I feel like God brings us to the well through our brokenness and hardship and our pain to let us know, here I am. You can drink of the water that only I can provide, this everlasting water. And sometimes through our hardships, we can come to the end of ourselves realizing, I can't do this on my own. I'm in need of a Savior. I have to surrender. God, if more of you means less of me, take everything. That place of surrender, though, it can be extremely scary, terrifying, and extremely tough, is the most powerful, brave, and life-changing place you could ever go. So I urge you, my friends, keep showing up to the well and accept that everlasting water. Guys, to find out more about my friend Max Davis, you can go to maxdavisbooks.com, and make sure you stick around for our house call segment that's coming up next with a very special guest, Rachel Flick.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Meredith Andrews. Extraordinary Women, a day of worship and encouragement. Coming to Marcus Point in Pensacola, April 17th. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends and some of the nation's best speakers, Casey Van Norman, Sheila Walsh, and Megan Clinton. Then praise and worship with Meredith Andrews. Super early bird savings extended with $49 tickets through March 31st. An incredible worship experience you'll never forget. Get your tickets now at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net. Extraordinary Women.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. It's time for a house call. This segment features professional counselors in our circle answering one of your questions.
On this house call for the Built Different podcast, I'm Rachel Flick, trauma therapist and licensed counselor. I'm going to answer a question for you today. What is the most effective way to encourage someone who's going through a season of loss and grief and feeling hopeless? In my own story of losing my husband, tragically and traumatically, I had so many people who came around me who had a deep desire to help in any way that they could. They brought meals, they watched my children, and so there's an element of it that's really practical. But one of the things that I found challenging in receiving the support in such a difficult season were questions around, how are you? And I know that this is a really basic thing that we say to each other every day, but in our culture, we don't expect a real answer. And we usually say fine or great or blessed and highly favored of the Lord, right? We all know those silly things that we say because we're not really being invited into a real conversation. But the thing about being in a season of grief and loss is that you are not fine. And so actually having the permission to have a real conversation is something that is kind of thrown at you in your grief and loss, and you're not always sure how to navigate that with people. So I would love to just bring a teaching point on some better questions that you might ask someone who is going through loss and grief. And one of my favorites that I have learned to ask is, how does your grief feel today? You are immediately acknowledging the sense of loss. You are not assuming that they're fine. You're giving them freedom and permission to tell you how they really are. And the truth is that grief and loss feel different every day. And so when someone was acknowledging that my experience was rapidly evolving, but mostly all negative in the initial space, that gave me permission to have a conversation with them that didn't require me to make them feel better or comfort them. A lot of times, someone's grief will trigger your grief, meaning you, as the person who wants to comfort someone who has lost, in your empathy, you are going to feel your own pain. And so I just want to encourage you to take a moment before you come into contact with someone who is grieving or in a season of loss and kind of do a little self-scan awareness. What are you bringing to the table? And if you are feeling pain, I'm going to encourage you to be honest with that with yourself, with the Lord, and do everything that you can not to bring that into the space with the grieving person, because there were so many times when I felt like there were people who are crying in my arms because of the loss of my husband, and that put me in the position to be the comforter and not the comforted. So that's definitely a next level way that you can support someone in loss. I think the third way that is really powerful to come alongside someone is to not have to say anything at all. It's okay that you don't have the answers. It's okay with them that you don't understand what they're going through or why it happened to them. Empathy is powerful. The fact that you are there with them, the fact that you're invested in them, the fact that you are taking time with them is healing in and of itself. So I want you to take the pressure off of yourself to be able to fix it, have the answers, or that you're avoiding them because you can't fix it or don't have the answers. Come, be with them, bring them a coffee, bring them a casserole, sit with them, and just be. That is some of the most powerful time that I spent with the people who loved me in my season of grief and loss. Thank you so much. This is Rachel Flick on this House Call with the Built Different podcast.
To find out more about Rachel, you can go to rachelflick.com. There you can listen to her podcast called The Hope Cast. Once again, that can be found at rachelflick.com. As always, thanks for joining me on this episode, and we'll see you next time on the Built Different podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. As we close today, we want to remind you about the upcoming Waymaker World Conference. This world premier Christian counseling event will be held in Orlando, Florida, September 15th through September 18th. Over the last 14 years, the World Conference has sold out with nearly 7,000 counselors, coaches, pastors, chaplains, and more, representing all 50 states and over 40 countries. Early bird registration is open now through March 31st, so register today for extra savings. To find out more, go to worldconference.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton.